Chapter 7. 4 days later, a funeral procession left from Canterville Chase at 11 o'clock at night. The coffin was covered by a purple cloth, which had the Canterville coat of arms on it. The servants walked on both sides of it with lit torches. Lord Canterville came from Wales to attend the funeral. He was the chief mourner and sat in the first carriage with Virginia. They were followed by the American minister and his wife. Then came Washington and the twins. Mrs. Umney was in the last carriage. Everyone felt that as the ghost had scared her for 50 years of her life, she had a right to see him for the last time. The service was by the Reverend Augustus Dampier. As the coffin was being lowered into the ground, Virginia approached it and placed a large cross of pink and white almond blossoms on it. As she did this, the moon appeared from behind a cloud and covered the little churchyard with its silver light. A bird began to sing in the distance. Virginia thought about the ghost's description of the Garden of Death. Her eyes filled with tears, and she was silent during the drive home. The next morning, before Lord Canterville went into town, Mr. Otis had a meeting with him. He wanted to talk about the jewels that the ghost had given to Virginia. They were magnificent. The most impressive piece was a ruby necklace. The value of the jewels was so great that Mr. Otis didn't feel comfortable permitting his daughter to accept them. "My lord," he said, "these jewels clearly form part of your family's inheritance. Take them to London with you. My daughter is still a child and has little interest in such objects of luxury. Mrs. Otis informs me that these jewels have great monetary value. Virginia asks for only one thing. She would like to keep the box as a memento of your ancestor." Lord Canterville listened silently to the minister's speech. When Mr. Otis had finished, he shook his hand and said, "My dear sir, your lovely daughter performed a very important service for my ancestor, Sir Simon. My family and I are indebted to her for her courage. The jewels are clearly hers. I'm sure that Sir Simon would reappear to torment me if I were to take the jewels from Virginia." Lord Canterville was quite firm, and finally convinced the minister to permit his daughter to retain the ghost's present. When the young Duchess of Cheshire was presented to the Queen on the occasion of her marriage, her jewels were the subject of universal admiration. Virginia had married the Duke as soon as he legally became an adult. After their honeymoon, the Duke and Duchess travelled to Canterville Chase. On the day after their arrival, they walked to the lonely churchyard in the afternoon. It had been decided to put Sir Simon's initials and the verse from the library window on the tombstone. The Duchess had brought some lovely roses with her that she put on the grave. After they had stood by it for some time, they walked to the ruins of the old abbey. The Duchess sat down on a fallen column. Her husband lay at her feet, smoking a cigarette and looking into her beautiful eyes. Suddenly, he threw his cigarette away. He took her hand and said, "Virginia, a wife should have no secrets from her husband." "Dear Cecil, I have no secrets from you." "Yes, you have," he answered, smiling. "You have never told me what happened to you when you were with the ghost." "I have never told anyone, Cecil," said Virginia gravely. "I know that, but you might tell me." "Please, don't ask me, Cecil. I can't tell you. Poor Sir Simon. I owe him so much. Don't laugh, Cecil. I really do. He made me see what life is, and what death means, and why love is stronger than both. The Duke stood up and kissed his wife. "You can have your secret, as long as I have your heart," he murmured. "You will always have that, Cecil." "And you will tell our children one day, won't you?" Virginia blushed.